Mike Peskin for Leonard Lopate on WNYC. The most horrible thing about tropical diseases like hookworm and elephantiasis isn't even what it does to the body. It's how they stunt development, how they trap sufferers in a cycle that's hard to break. They're also ignored. In fact, they're grouped under an acronym, NTD, and NTD stands for Neglected Tropical Diseases. The World Health Organization estimates that 1 billion people are affected by neglected tropical diseases. Joining me now is Peter J. Hotez. He's Distinguished Research Professor and Chair of the Department of Microbiology, Immunology, and Tropical Medicine at George Washington University. He's also President of the Sabin Vaccine Institute. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, Mike.
Dr. Hotez, you recently wrote a piece for Foreign Policy that starts by talking about Gandhi, who suffered from an NTD. Now, you didn't just mention him for the celebrity tie-in. You were trying to make a broader point, right?
That's absolutely right. So, as you mentioned, these neglected tropical diseases are the world's most common infections of poor people. So we sometimes refer to them as the bottom billion, referring to a celebrated book by Paul Collier. And this refers to the fact that there are 1.4 billion people in the world who live on no money, essentially, live on less than a dollar a day. And these neglected tropical diseases are the most common infections of the world's poorest people. Almost all of the bottom billion are infected with one or more of these conditions. And they're conditions, as you mentioned, such as hookworm, such as schistosomiasis. They're diseases that most people haven't even heard of in the United States, and they're even surprised to hear that these are the most common diseases of poor people because there's so much attention on AIDS and other conditions. But these are the stealth reason why the bottom billion can't escape poverty.
And when you're right about Gandhi, you're saying, you know, think about how much more he could have done. He's maybe the one guy whose name you know who suffered from an NTD, and imagine that times 1.4 billion.
That's right. So what's interesting about these neglected tropical diseases is they do everything but kill. So they're not high causes of mortality, and that's one of the reasons they haven't gotten the same level of global attention, but they cause enormous amounts of disability. So, for instance, a child who's chronically infected with hookworm, and one of the features of these neglected tropical diseases is that they occur in people over a period of years. They're not short-term infections like we have in the U.S., so people have them oftentimes their entire lives. So a child chronically infected with hookworm infection loses his or her vigor, loses his ability to grow and develop, loses his or her ability to become physically fit and actually learn in school. So these actually suppress memory, suppress cognition, and suppress intellect. And there's a recent study to show that chronic hookworm infection in childhood will reduce your future wage earning capacity by 43%. So this is the difference between a person becoming successful in life and not being successful in life, is being chronically infected with hookworm. Hookworm's not the only example. You mentioned elephantiasis. Well, India loses $1 billion in economic productivity every year because of elephantiasis. This is a disease, another parasitic worm infection that affects the limbs, affects the genitals, and people are too sick to go to work as a result. So they can't work in the fields, then they lose their economic productivity as a result.
And it's the vicious cycle because the countries, the least developed countries where the diseases are prevalent, require their people to work hard to boost the GDP, and that's not happening. So how do you ever break out of it? And that's my question. How do you ever break out of the cycle?
So you're absolutely right. So these diseases not only occur in the setting of poverty, they cause poverty. The good news is that we have extraordinarily simple and low-cost solutions. It's astonishingly how inexpensive it is. So, for instance, we can prevent lymphatic filariasis for less than a penny a year in some cases, through annual treatment. So what happens is these neglected tropical diseases often occur in clusters, and what you can do is once a year you can administer a drug to get rid of the worms, and in some cases you can get rid of the worms permanently, give that drug every year. And what's impressive is that most of the drugs are being donated by the large pharmaceutical companies free of charge. So, for instance, one of them, called Mectizan, is being donated by Merck free of charge. Pfizer's donating Zithromax for trachoma. GlaxoSmithKline is donating albendazole. And so as a result, you're almost factoring out the cost of the drugs, and others are available as low-cost generics. So it's simply cost of delivery. So imagine that we could take on the 7 most common neglected tropical diseases, the most common infections of poor people. Are you ready for this? For 50 cents a person per year. And that what that means is that we can take on a group of diseases that are as important as AIDS or better-known conditions, but control and in some cases eliminate them over through these once-a-year treatments.
NGOs, even the governments themselves, how many people are they actually treating?
Well, in some cases, we're doing very well. So, for instance, for elephantiasis, that up to a half a billion people have been treated every year as a result because it is so low cost. So what's been established together with the World Health Organization and other international health agencies is a global network for neglected tropical diseases in which individuals can donate 50 cents. We have a Just 50 Cents campaign if you go to our website, www.globalnetwork.org, for providing support for this package of neglected tropical disease drugs, NTD drugs.
Now, tropical diseases, so does that mean because of the climate, these parasitic worms are going to exist no matter what, or do things like clean and potable water play a big role in combating them?
Certainly, water and sanitation are extremely important, but the single most common determinant of these diseases is poverty. Wherever you have extreme poverty in the world, you can find these neglected tropical diseases, including, in some cases, even extreme pockets of poverty in the United States.
So you have a situation where compare North Korea to South Korea, obviously a small peninsula, two nations. South Korea doesn't really suffer from these. In North Korea, these diseases are rampant.
That's right. And so what the other point of the paper, which is called Gandhi's Hookworms in Foreign Policy, is that the what's quite interesting is the neglected tropical diseases are disproportionately affect the countries of greatest security interest to the United States. So some of the highest rates of neglected tropical diseases occur in the world's Islamic countries, places like Indonesia, Nigeria, Bangladesh, Iran, Sudan. In addition, they're also very common in the major nuclear weapon states in the world, not so much France and the United States, but rather places such as India, China, and Pakistan. So as a result, this not only becomes now a question of lifting people, improving their health, and lifting people out of poverty, but it may have some security implications as well, because when these neglected tropical diseases become very prevalent in these Islamic countries, we call them the Organization of the Islamic Conference, or in these nuclear weapon states, what happens is it interferes with the ability to grow crops. It's a question of food security. People abandon their fields. Children aren't learning in schools. It promotes ignorance. And so what we think is that not only is there a potential impact through these mass drug treatments on improving health and lifting people out of poverty, but actually improving global security.
Now, this phrase NTD, has that designation been around for a while, or is this part of a new rebranding to get people to pay attention to the diseases?
It's something we coined in 2005, and it has to do with the fact that I'd been working on hookworm infection for 30 years, and a colleague of mine had been working on elephantiasis for 30 years, had done the same, and it was hard to advocate for just a single neglected tropical diseases, because it's when you talk about them together that you realize that the amount of suffering that they cause worldwide is equivalent to HIV/AIDS. So it was a way to think about packaging these diseases together, not only for purposes of advocacy, but because these diseases cluster together, you could treat them together at the same time as well and thereby improve efficiencies.
Philanthropists always have to guard against this, which is looking at another worthy philanthropy and saying, you know, mine, if you gave that much money to my philanthropy, it would cure so many more people. And then they start to wonder, why don't I have the one that celebrities want to endorse? Why isn't the Clinton Global Initiative or the Gates Initiative or pick a big one? Why aren't they targeting my disease? So, you know, you could go crazy thinking about that. But when you do have these thoughts, what about the NTDs aren't compelling enough to get enough people involved if they could be so easily cured on pennies a day?
Well, we're starting to get the word out through our advocacy efforts through the global network, and people are now starting to realize not only the importance of these conditions, but the way you can do something about them for such low cost. I mean, what other group of conditions can you talk about 50 cents a person per year? And I think that's very compelling in these very difficult economic times. So even with the fiscal restraints of the Obama administration and the other G8 countries, it's still possible to treat huge numbers of people for very, very modest costs. And the private donors partners as well have now started to recognize this. So you can, for instance, adopt a country. Imagine you can adopt a country for sometimes as little as a couple of million dollars in terms of treating the entire country through a national control program.
Are there success stories? Can we point to any tropical diseases that have, back of my mind, I'm not a scientist, hasn't malaria all but been eliminated in many countries?
No, malaria is still extremely common, but yes, indeed, there are success stories. So, for instance, China, through annual treatments, has been able to eliminate lymphatic filariasis, and that was done through mass treatment on a large scale. Many of the South Pacific Islands have been able to eliminate elephantiasis. Trachoma has now been close to being eliminated in Morocco. Zanzibar has made great strides in eliminating lymphatic filariasis. So what we've seen are great success stories in individual countries. Now the idea is how you franchise it and start pooling all the pooling multiple countries together to do this on a larger scale. And that's one of the rationales for the global network of partners for neglected tropical disease control.
I've been speaking with Dr. Peter Hotez, the director of the Sabin Vaccine Institute and the chair of the Department of Microbiology, Immunology, and Tropical Medicine at George Washington University. You can read about neglected tropical diseases in foreignpolicy.com. Thank you so much for joining us on today's underreported segment.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.